thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Time is going by. I'm loving this exegetical verse-by-verse study of the life of Christ. We're still in the Olivet Discord. You remember that was done, in the Mount of Olives, and he actually started talking about the tribulation. It's called the Olivet Discord because they're speaking of the up there, you know, on the Mount of Olives, and discourse. I'm sorry, I always say discord like I'm in the army. Discourse, and he's telling them the signs of things to come. What's going on? Now, I want to give you a couple disclaimers, as Kevin and I did last week and the week before, is whenever you're in anything that's eschatology, esca meaning end times, ology meaning the study thereof, whenever you're studying end times or eschatology, sometimes they're called prophecy conferences at your church and things of that nature, theologians always want to take a complete biblical look at things. They want to look at it from a perspective of the whole Bible. Now, we absolutely understand that we've kind of got one arm tied behind our backs as we're doing this exegetical study, which is verse by verse here in Matthew. We understand that we're looking at things from Matthew that are pointing, and there's some things in Revelation, and you'll hear Kevin and you'll hear me say some things like, oh yeah, and this is going to happen. Then we'll go, but that's in Thessalonians, or that's in Revelation, or, you know, you may hear that from us. Just understand that we're trying to stick close to the script, and there's an awful lot of great stuff about eschatology. So I want you to just go ahead and hang with us. And if we miss something that you find on your timeline or something, it's because we're not doing a whole book, the whole Bible study of that. So today we're looking at something called signs. You know, we're always looking for signs in our life, things to lead us. And I guess the best thing I can say about signs is this. When I lived at Fort Drum, New York, and Kevin's been up there, it's got the largest landfall of snow in the continental United States. There is no town over 30,000 people, or county over 30,000 people in the country, that has more snowfall than up there in northern, way up northern, right up on the Canadian border, right next to Lake Ontario in the St. Lawrence River. And the reason for that is because the jet stream goes right across. You know, you got Lake Erie, then Buffalo, and then Lake Ontario, and that jet stream travels right across, right over Watertown, New York, in Jefferson County. And if the air is colder than the water, you get what they call lake effect snow, which is just nasty. And so it's constantly snowy up there. So you can imagine snow sports, ice skating, anything with cold weather is real big. So when I first got up there, I was up there a few months, and the Sergeant Majors Association hosted for the Sergeant Majors kind of like a dining in, or where we all got together and we rode snowmobiles. And they give you about a one-hour class when you rent these snowmobiles. And the basics of these classes is they're signs. You have to follow the signs. You have to have your lights on. You have to wear a vest. You have to wear proper gear. And if you didn't have proper gloves and stuff, they were more than willing to sell them to you. But they geared everybody up to include heated gloves and stuff that you could plug into your snowmobile. And we went out, and truly, I was in the front most of the time because I had done some snowmobiling. And I remember the signs told you where to go. They told us what trails to stick on. And we're going around Lake Ontario and St. Lawrence River up in this counter. Up in the other end of the county, we had to stop and get gas in the middle. That's how long we rented these snowmobiles for. We got in about 11 o'clock at night, but I'll never forget. If you didn't look at the signs, you got lost, man. If you didn't look at the signs, we lost snowmobiles. They had to track them. They had trackers on them, even back then in the 90s, and they had to track them, and they were real expensive back then. So if someone got lost, they charged $100 to go find them. And luckily, we followed those signs, and there's signs in life, and there's the Bible tells us there's signs, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress, nation, and perplexity, in the sea and waves roaring, men's heart failing. And this is the Luke version of the Olivet Discourse, but again, pointing to those signs where we're going to be covering more. A wicked and adulterous generation, it tells us in Matthew 16:4, seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And then said Jesus unto him, except ye see sign and wonders, you will not believe. So signs are a big deal, Kevin. I know you always go to the first mention principle in the Bible. That's why I kind of stay away from it. But signs are important, right? I mean, we're looking for signs throughout our Christian faith. We're looking for signs in our life. And I mean, we're just trying to be tuned in, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think a sign is something that's misunderstood a lot today, but it's definitely got its rightful place with God. And so as you were talking, I was thinking, yeah, you bridged from that God does have indicators like the, you know, the analogy of the snowfall and the snowmobiles and the signs, and then over to what God does in our lives. And, you know, I think, Doug, that I just had a conversation with someone this past week that God's signs are, they're always special, they're temporary, and they are given in lieu of his word. And what I mean by that is we do need directions, and we do have to have God, you know, use especially spiritual indicators to point to us, point us to, you know, from point A to point B. And I'm always in counseling and coaching people with PTSD saying, look, I know you were headed toward from point A to point B, and now point B is not any longer an option. That's trauma does that. But I said, be on the lookout for C, because, you know, the signs are going to point you to, you know, I know the plans that I have for you to give you an expected end. You talk about that verse a lot. On the way to B, which is now gone, there's C that you couldn't have seen until you got halfway to B. And trauma does that. So trauma is something that opens up doors to greater things, even though it closes doors to some things. And I've been through this. I've been through just the slamming of doors, but yet the opening of doors. But thank God for the signs. So as you talk about signs, there's so many things in the scriptures. You talked about a wicked, adulterous generation seeketh a sign. I talked yesterday to Brother McVaney in Texas, and he was pastor of a church that we had started many years ago. And anyway, he has always worked, a lot of times worked on the side in sign businesses. So when I call him, I say, a wicked, adulterous generation seeketh a sign, and he laughs. But I said that, excuse me for coughing here, it's pollen.
Oh, nasty. Yeah, we're both there, folks.
But, and I'm not even in Greenville anymore. I hope this sounds all right, because I'm on a new mic from my coach. But long story short, Doug, I'm just so thankful that God does have ways of temporarily giving signs. So on a wicked, adulterous generation, they insist on a sign. I won't believe. It's like Thomas. I won't believe until I see. God says, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. But there are times, and this is a conversation I had with someone recently, in some countries right now, there are almost biblical level, we call it biblical level, New Testament apostolic level. And then now the apostolic signs have ceased. I believe that. The Bible talks about surely the signs of an apostle, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. And that's when Paul talking about the things that he did as an apostle. So there was apostolic gifts because he did not have the completed scripture. Once we have completed scripture, we don't need the signs. But and there are countries that are closed in darkness, particularly Muslim countries, where you cannot get the word of God. But the Spirit of God is working, because you're getting bits and pieces from Christianity, wars and so forth, people bringing people over that leave tracks and so forth. And those people, as they seek God occasionally, I've heard the stories from good solid sources saying God is occasionally doing very unusual things in those cases to show those people, you know, through a crazy situation, a miracle, you know, a dream, just whatever it is. And we're Bible believers. We do not worship dreams or expect them. However, I'm just glad that Jesus Christ in those cases says, no, this is true. And then God shows them a missionary. So signs are useful. Yes, signs are temporary, and blessed are those that believe without having to see.
Yeah, boy, that's a great explanation. And, you know, when we talk about signs and where we're going today, we think of the word cosmos, or, you know, relating to the universe, or cosmic signs. And in the Bible, you'll hear that term cosmic, an awful lot, you know, with relation to theology. People who go look back, look for cosmic signs. And like Kevin said, right on. You know, there's so much. We're right on top of all these things the Lord's pointing to. We're in end times. We know that. We talked about eska, or end theology, or the study of end times. We're right there, folks. So this is important stuff. What did Christ have to say about that? This is real important. And I appreciate the thoroughness in which Kevin covered that. As we move forward today, when we think about those cosmic signs, I can't wait to get into the scripture with you guys here in just a second, but we got to go ahead and do what the radio stations want us to do. So hang with us, and we'll be right back with you. May God bless you, friends.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
I can remember in my military career one time that I saw cosmic signs that changed my life. And as we prepared, you know, the Army is in a constant preparation mode for battle and a constant readiness mode, making sure that all the soldiers are ready, just like the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, your police force, stuff like that. You're always training for what you hope is not the inevitable, but you're constantly involved with that. And one time we went down to a place called Grafenwehr in Germany, a huge former Nazi training camp, and you could shoot, you know, tanks could shoot down there, you could shoot small missiles. It's just half the size of Delaware. A lot of training took place there, a lot of ranges. It was great. I remember one night we had all the soldiers out, and we worked maybe 20 hours that day. And you know, we got everybody settled in, and I went back and found the old man, and the old man, the colonel, and I were sleeping basically in the same area. And we went down, and I remember we were laying down there, and I looked up and I saw all the stars in the skies. And I said to the colonel, I said, when you look up and see all these beautiful clear stars, what come to your mind? What comes to mind? And, you know, him befitting his place and position in life as a West Point graduate and Oxford Rhodes Scholar, said, you know, Sergeant Major, when I look up at those stars, I think, you know, just how big God is, just how big this world is. Everywhere I look, there's stars. And, you know, meteorologically, I think we're having great weather. We'll probably have good weather again tomorrow, you know. And he's talking about the sky for a few minutes. And he looks over at me and he says, Sergeant Major, what do you think? And I said, I think someone stole our tent. But anyway, here we are. We're in Matthew 24. You got to watch out for those people who steal your tents. We're in Matthew 24, starting in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so talking about this tribulation period, and again, Kevin and I will mention things. We see in the Bible pretty clear that the tribulation period is a 7-year period. We also see in the Bible from our theological perspective, and I think from verses in the Bible, where people who accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior won't be part of that tribulation. There'll be a shout and a trump that will come to us, and we'll be taken care of. So in those days shall the sun be darkened. You're not going to see it, folks, if you've accepted Christ. And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming into clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect. And we believe the term elect in this particular perspective is talking about those who accepted in their lifetimes Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to another. So we see a few things that I had mentioned to Kevin a few minutes ago, some of the things I found, and I know he found the same. The tribulation, again, we're talking about the tribulation is a great trial, great distress is, you know, it's interpreted as referred to a 7-year period of turmoil, you know, and craziness. And so we see that. We talked about signs and cosmic signs, the darkening of the sun, the moon. So you can tell when these signs come up, these are bad times. And and then following the cosmic stuff, the cosmo crazy stuff, Jesus will appear in the heavens and there will be a visible sign of his coming. So he's going to bring us up, folks. There's going to be a 7-year period of tribulation. And then he's coming. And there's some things. There's going to be some mourning. And from mourning, I mean where, you know, like at a funeral, like mourning death, mourning the terrible things that are happened. There's going to be a gathering of the elect, those saved people. Jesus will send his angels to gather his chosen ones from all corners of the earth. And it's just going to be wonderful. And so it's going to be wonderful for those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but not at all good for those of us who haven't, Kevin.
No. No, and it's good that you pointed out the the audience that Jesus is talking to here, and that we're really not going to be here. And I'll just mention this in passing. Don't get hung up on Matthew 24 and 25, trying to make force Christians into there. And the reason it always happens is because Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they ask the question, and he's addressing the disciples. But you can see that he is really covering a lot of stuff here. In fact, he is covering Jew, Gentile, and Church of God. And I'm referring, when I give those three groups, let's look at the three groups, how Jesus deals dispensationally with each one of them. In other words, how he deals in a different way at a different time. But the tribulation has three targets: the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Now, the Church of God will be in heaven, I believe, like Doug just said. But 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, "Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God." 1 Corinthians 10:32. So that, I'm just pointing that out because Paul is talking to the Corinthian believers and saying, look, be aware of three different groups and you know, kind of recognize that. So in the Olivet discourse, we have the three groups that are being dealt with here, and the church is, you know, the rapture is not actually a whole lot. I personally don't think that there are implications of the calling away of the church. There are applications of this to the calling away, like the two being in the field, one taken, another left. But really, I've heard it said, and I think it's true, that this during this, the church is in heaven, according to Revelation 4 and 5, where John is, and I say that according to, there's a lot of scriptures, actually. 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 15. There are two distinct future comings of Jesus Christ, but only one of them is to the earth, the other is to the air. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall arise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to meet his own in the air there. But these scriptures that we're covering here are talking about a return to earth. And what you mentioned, Doug, as far as then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yes, he is coming through the atmosphere, and it talks about the east to the west, so it's probably going to be, you know, an eastern thing where he's going to come ultimately through the east gate into Jerusalem and set up his kingdom. But this whole thing is the entrance to the kingdom, and it's the removing of the goats before the setting up of the kingdom. And there's a lot of scriptures that bear together in here, but the church is in heaven during this time. And again, I don't have time to, like you said, Doug, get into the eschatology of all that. But, you know, I have landed on the side of a tribulation happening after the rapture, and there's, you know, Second Thessalonians says there's that day shall not come except there first come a falling away, and then shall the and the man of sin be revealed. So the tribulation, the day of the Lord, or the tribulation, is going to come after the coming of this the Antichrist. But we are going to be, according to Revelation 4, caught up to Revelation 5, caught up in the spirit, and go to a judgment seat of Christ when the Antichrist is going to be coming here. But that's the church. And the Jew is, this is Jacob's trouble. This is the Jews being brought to faith in Jesus Christ. And when it said in verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall the tribes of the earth mourn. That's primarily, and there's going to be a lot of Gentiles getting saved, some from every tribe, tongue, and nation, the Bible says. But the Jews also, according to Zechariah, are primarily involved in that, because it says in Zechariah that, I just had it open a moment ago. You can hear the pages rustling flip back. And I will pour upon Zechariah 12, 10.
Hey brother, we're at the end. We're going to have to, we got off a little bit and our time went a little long.
That.
So apologies out there to your radio station stuff. We sure do love you. Listen to everything that's got to be said. We'll be praying for you. May God bless you, friends. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll keep this going.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation, or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.